Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear viewers, in the previous sessions, we have been discussing the collection of the Quran narratives as ascribed to Ali رضي الله عنه. We have finished critique in analyzing these narratives vis-a-vis the Sunni sources, and in the previous couple of sessions, we have also seen the critique on the narratives as they have been discussed and mentioned in the Shiite sources. Today, in this last and final session on this topic, we shall discuss the critique or the issues which arise on the chains of narration of the 16 narratives which are recorded in the Shiite books of history and hadith vis-a-vis this collection. Now, this critique will also depend almost entirely on the Shiite Rijal books, wherever they are called upon to do so. We'll discuss the Shiite Rijal books when we are discussing these chains of narration. And I think it is only befitting to do this because since we are discussing these narratives from Shiite sources, then we should discuss the critique which arises on the narrators from the Shiite Rijal books. Now, as you will recall, we had discussed 16 narratives and we had discussed the critique which arises on their text in the last session. So I'll begin with the chain of narration of these narratives, discussing the critique on them. And I'll start off with the first and second narrative because both of them have been discussed by Sulaym ibn Qais in his Kitab. And as far as the Kitab of Sulaym ibn Qais is concerned, we find the following information in Shiite sources. Now, first of all, I'm going to cite Ibn al-Ghazairi from his Rijal and what his comments are regarding this book, because if you recall, the first two narratives are mentioned and cited in this Kitab, the Kitab of Sulaym ibn Qais. So Ibn al-Ghazairi says, وَالْكِتَابْ مَعْضُوءٌ لَا مَرِيَّةَ فِيهِ وَعَلَى ذَلِكَ عَلَامَاتْ فِيهِ تَدُلُّ عَلَى مَا ذَكَرْنَا مِنْهَا مَا ذُكِرَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ أَبِي بَكَرْ وَعَزَ أَبَا عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ وَعَزَ أَبَاهُ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْأَئِمَّةَ 13 وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ وَأَسَانِيدُ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ تَخْتَلِفُ تَارَةً بِرِوَايَةِ عُمَرَ بْنِ عُزَيْنَةَ مِنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ بْنِ عُمَرَ الصَّنْعَانِي عَنْ أَبَانِ بْنِ أَبِي أَيَّاشَ عَنْ سُلَيْمَ وَتَارَةً يَرْوِي عَنْ عُمَرَ عَنْ أَبَانَ بِلَا وَاسِطَةَ. The translation of this of these words are, and the book is a fabrication. There is no doubt about it. And there are clues which testify to this. Among them is that Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr counseled his father at his death and that the Imams are 13. The chains of this book are different. Sometimes Umar ibn Uzayna reports from Ibrahim ibn Umar al-Sana'ani, who reports from Aban ibn Abi Ayyash, who reports from Sulaym, and sometimes it is narrated by Umar ibn Uzayna, who directly narrates from Aban. Now, Ibn Daud, I'm going to move on to the next person, the next Rizal authority. He, while writing about Sulaym ibn Qais, he says in his book, also called Rijal, يُنْسَبُ إِلَيْهِ الْكِتَابَ الْمَشْهُورِ وَهُوَ مَوْضُوعٌ بِدَلِيلِ أَنَّهُ قَالَ إِنَّ مُحَمَّدَ بْنِ أَبِي بَكَرْ وَعَزَ أَبَاهُ إِنْدَ مَعَوْتِهِ وَقَالَ فِيهِ أَنَّ الْأَئِمَّةَ 13 مَعَ زَيْدٍ وَأَسَانِيدُهُ مُخْتَلِفَةٌ لَمْ يَرْوِ عَنْهُ إِلَّا أَبَانُ بْنُ أَبِي أَيَّاشَ وَفِي الْكِتَابِ مَنَاكِيرٌ مُشْتَهِرَةٌ وَمَا عُزُنُّهُ إِلَّا مَوْضُوعًا. A translation of this passage is, to him is attributed a famous book. This book is a fabrication, because in it is said, Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr counseled his father at his death, and that the Imams are 13, together with Zayd, and the book has different chains of narration. The only person to have narrated from Sulaym is Aban ibn Abi Ayyash, and in the book are found strange things which have become famous. And thus, I regard it to be a fabrication. Now, Shaykh al-Mufid, in his Tashih al-Aqaid, now I'm going to bring before you the comments that he has made about this book. He says, هذا الكتاب غير موسوق به ولا يجوز العمل على أكثره وقد حصل فيه تخليط وتدليس فينبغي للمتدين أن يجتنب العمل بكل ما فيه ولا يعول على جملته والتقليد لرواته وليفرغ إلى العلماء فيما تزمنه من الأحاديث ليوقفوه على الصحيح منها والفاسد. This book is not reliable and it is not permissible to act on what most of it says. There are many discrepancies and falsehoods in it. A religious person should refrain from acting on everything it says, and he should not depend on its content and not blindly follow its narrators. He should seek refuge with the scholars regarding the narratives it contains, so that they can inform him about the right among them from the wrong. So, viewers, this is a summary of the three main people who have written their criticisms on this kitab. Now, let me also bring before you a person called Alauddin al-Musawi, who has written a response to these criticisms. And he has written this while writing his preface to the kitab Sunan Ibn Qais, and this book has been published from Tehran in 1407 Hijra. Now, he has tried to respond to these criticisms, and before he does so, he first summarizes these criticisms, and he says that there are primarily three criticisms which have been raised by these people. He says that the counsel of Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr to his father at his death, even though he was a little over 2 years of age at that time. So he says that the first point of criticism is that Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr counseled his father, and while he was counseling his father, it is said that he was just 2 years of age. So he says that this is something which is very improbable, which of course people who contend when they criticize this book to be an improbable thing. The second point of criticism according to him is that the Imams are 13. And the third point of criticism according to him is that the book has different chains of narration. Now he answers the first criticism by saying that in the version of the book which Istarabadi refers to in his book on Rijal, it is mentioned that it was Abdullah ibn Umar who counseled his father at his father's death, and it is known that Abdullah was a grown-up man at that time. Another answer he gives while summarizing the response of Ijaz Hussain al-Kanthuri from his Kashful Hujub is that if the report is believed that Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr was actually 4 years at the time of his father's death, then such a counsel cannot be far-fetched. Even at this tender age, sometimes such an incident does occur. So he says that another point is that if it is accepted that it was Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, then he was a 4 year of age, then this is something which is plausible. He answered the second criticism. And he answered the second criticism by again quoting Istarabadi, who has said that in the version of Kitab Sulaim ibn Qais, which has reached him, it is written that the Imams were 13, and this included the Prophet Muhammad as well. So a similar answer is also given by some of the other people. So he says that this criticism that the Imams were 13, whereas actually we know that were 12, he says that they actually include the Prophet himself, and therefore there is nothing wrong with it. Now, he answers the fourth criticism by saying that if a book has different chains of narration in the manner referred to by Ibn al-Ghazayri, then there is no defect at all. This is no defect at all. As it was a general practice of previous scholars to report books from different chains, and examples of such books are Al-Kafi and Al-Khisal. So he says, in his own opinion, he's tried to answer all these three criticisms. Now, after answering these criticisms, Al-Musawi says that there are some other criticisms also on Kitab Sunan ibn Qais which have come to his notice. He refers to Al-Bahbudi's Ma'rifah al-Hadith and then summarizes these criticisms. Now, in my personal opinion, if these criticisms are analyzed, and perhaps the most weighty of these is that which hinges on the personality of Aban ibn Abi Ayyash, who lived through 65 to 138 Hijra. Now, according to Al-Bahbudi, all the chains of narration of the book end on Aban ibn Abi Ayyash. Only Aban reports it from Sulaim, and only Umar ibn Uzayna reports it from Aban, and Aban has been classified as Matruk. So here is what some of the Shiite books say about Aban ibn Abi Ayyash. So Ibn Daud al-Hilli writes, Za'ifun. قِيلَ إِنَّهُ وَزَعَ خِتَابَ سُلَيْمُ بْنُ كَيْسٍ, which means that Aban ibn Abi Ayyash is Za'if. It is said that he fabricated the book of Sulaim ibn Qais. Now At-Tusi says that he is Za'if. And Ibn al-Ghazali says, Za'ifun la yultafatu ilayh, wa yansubu ashabuna waz'a kitab Sulaim ibn Qais ilayh. He is Za'if and should not be paid attention to, and our scholars have attributed to him the fabrication of the book of Sulaim ibn Qais. Sunni authorities also regard him to be very weak. Imam Ahmad, and when I quote these Sunni authorities, they are only quoted as a secondary issue here, because we already know that the Shiite sources have already impugned him. So this is just as a reinforcement that I am citing the Sunni sources. So Imam Ahmad and Ibn Hajar say that Aban ibn Abi Ayyash is matruk. And Nasai regards him to be matruk al-hadith. And we know people who are matruk al-hadith, then they are basically people who are liars. They are people who are guilty of fabrication. While responding to the criticism, Al-Musawi says that the book has also been reported from another chain of narration as mentioned by An-Najashi. So let me just summarize what I've just said, that these are the criticisms which actually Musawi has pointed out. As I said, the most weighty of these criticisms which he has pointed out is that the personality of Aban ibn Abi Ayyash is impugned, and I have also reinforced it by some of the quotations. But now Behbudi again responds to this. He says, although we can exceed the fact that these chains of narration which contain Aban ibn Abi Ayyash can be disregarded, he has quoted another chain. He says that the book has also been reported from another chain of narration which is mentioned by An-Najashi. And now he mentions that chain of narration. He says that Akhbarani Ali ibn Ahmad al-Qummi qala haddasana Muhammad ibn Hassan ابن الوليد قال حدثنا محمد بن أبي القاسم ماجلوي عن محمد بن علي السيرفي عن حماد بن عيسى وعثمان بن عيسى قال حماد بن عيسى وحدثنا إبراهيم بن عمر اليماني عن سليم بن كيس بالكتاب. So this is a chain of narration we cite, and he says that actually this is a chain in which Aban ibn Abi Ayyash does not figure, and hence it is a reliable chain of narration. So in other words, since this book is reported to Ibrahim ibn Umar al-Yamani, Al-Musufi dismisses this objection. He says that there is this single one chain of narration in which this Kitab of Sulaym ibn Qais has reported by Ibrahim ibn Umar and not by Aban ibn Abi Ayyash. Now, viewers, it is submitted that Muhammad al-Baqir al-Ansari in his preface to Kitab Sulaym ibn Qais has enumerated 20 chains from which this book has been narrated from Sulaym, as recorded by various authorities. In all except one of these chains, Aban reports from Sulaym. And lo and behold, this exception is the chain quoted above by An-Najashi. It is obvious that Aban is not present in this chain. However, as pointed out by Imam Al-Khuwi, what makes this chain unreliable is the presence of Abu Sumayna Muhammad ibn Ali al-Sayrafi. Now, he is the person who is present. So even if it is submitted that Aban ibn Abi Ayyash is not present in this particular chain of narration, but the fact is that Abu Sumayna is a person who is za'iful. He actually, Al-Khuwi himself says that he is za'ifun kazzab. He's weak and he is a liar. Now, it may further be noted that Najashi's opinion about him is za'ifun jiddan. He has heretical beliefs. The words are fasidul i'tiqad. He cannot be trusted in any matter. La yu'tamadu fi shay is what he says. Al-Hilli also expresses a similar opinion. Al-Kashi records that Al-Fazl ibn Shazan has mentioned famous liars in his books. And the most famous among these are Abu al-Khattab, Yunus ibn Zabyan, Yazid al-Saghir, Muhammad ibn Sinan, and Abu Sumayna. So he is among those liars that he has mentioned in his book. So in other words, none of the chains through which this book is transmitted is reliable. So, let me summarize the fact that since all of the chains of narration through which this book has been transmitted are unreliable, hence we cannot trust this book. We have seen how Sulaym ibn Qais himself is impugned. We have seen how most of the chains of narration which contain Aban ibn Abi Ayyash, the personality of Aban himself is unreliable, and we have also seen that even if there is one chain in which Aban is not present, we still see that another person by the name of Abu Sumayna is present, and he has been regarded as a liar, kazzab, by Shiite authorities themselves. So all in all, we can summarize and say and safely conclude that the Kitab of Sulaym ibn Qais is a totally unreliable book, and narratives which are recorded in this book cannot be trusted in any way. Now, viewers, let's move on to the remaining narratives. Now, as far as narratives 3 and 4 are concerned, they do not have any chain of narration. You will recall that they do not have any chain of narration. It needs to be noted that according to Al-Majlisi, most narratives in Al-Ihtijaj are Mursal. So we have to regard this as well, that Majlisi in his Al-Bihar Al-Anwar says that most of the narratives which are found in Tabrizi's Al-Ihtijaj, and we see that narratives 3 and 4, they are found in Tabrizi's Al-Ihtijaj. And also please note the fact that, as I've just pointed out, that these narratives have no chain of narration. Now, narrative 5, as per Shiite authorities, is sound because it is reported through a sound chain of narration, and it ends on one of their imams, which is Imam Jafar Sadiq. However, according to the principles of historical criticism, it is weak, because we know, viewers, that Imam Jafar Sadiq lived from 80 to 148 Hijra, and he never met Ali Ta'ala Anhu, who had died in 40 Hijra. So these two could not have met, and obviously Imam Jafar Sadiq is not contemporaneous to the events which are being reported in these narratives. So therefore, narrative number 5 also stands to question, and we shall disregard it. Now, as far as narrative number 6 is concerned, it is regarded by Zaif as by Majlisi. So Majlisi in his Miratul Ukul says that this narrative is Zaif. So it does not need any further elaboration, hence. Now, as far as narratives 7, 8, and 9 are concerned, they do not have any chain of narration. Again, we are faced with this ordeal that the narratives 7, 8, and 9 do not have any chain of narration, and hence, viewers, we cannot regard them to be reliable. Now, narrative number 10 has Jabir ibn Yazid al-Jurafi in it. He is a narrator who has been regarded as untrustworthy. Now, according to a Najashi, he is mukhtalit. Moreover, the narrative is reported through a chain of narration that ends on one of their imams, who is Imam Baqir. So although Jabir ibn Yazid al-Jurafi is a person who is mukhtalit, which means that he does not have a very sound memory, we also see that this narrative is munkata, because it is reported through Imam Baqir. And we know that Imam Baqir lived through 57 to 117 Hijra, and therefore he could never have been contemporaneous to the events which are mentioned in these narratives. And because of this, we will disregard this narrative as well. Now, it may also be noted that while some authorities in Sunni Rijal books regard him to be reliable, others have done jar on him. Again, I am quoting Sunni books as a secondary evidence in this regard, vis-a-vis Jabir ibn Yazid al-Jurafi. So, Al-Mizzi has recorded some jar on Jabir ibn Yazid. He says that in the opinion of Yahya ibn Ma'in, as reported by Abbas al-Duri, Jabir is a great liar. He is Kazzab. Imam Abu Hanifa says that he has not met anyone who is a bigger liar than Jabir ibn Yazid. So he says that he has not met anyone who is a greater liar than Jabir ibn Yazid. Abu Hatim reports from Ahmad ibn Hanbal that Yahya and Abdurrahman al-Mahdi had abandoned him. The words are Tarakuhu. According to An-Nisa'i, he is Matruk al-Hadith. At another place, he says that he is Laysa bi-Siqa, and Laysa bi-Siqa wa la yuktabu hadithuhu. Al-Hakim calls him Zahib al-Hadith, and according to Ibn Hajar, he is Za'if and a Rafidhi. The chain also contains another person. This chain of I am talking about narrative number 10. So this, besides Jabir ibn Yazid, it also contains another person who is also very questionable and unreliable, and his name is Amr ibn Abil Miqtam. Now, he is actually Amr ibn Sabit ibn Hurmuz. Although Shiite Rijal authorities regard him to be reliable, here is what some of the Sunni Rijal authorities say about him, as recorded by Al-Mizzi in his Tazib al-Kamal. Al-Hasan ibn Isa reports that Ibn Mubarak had abandoned his narratives. Muhammad ibn al-Musanna says that he never heard Abdurrahman al-Mahdi, Abdurrahman ibn al-Mahdi narrate from him. In the opinion of Yahya ibn Ma'in, as reported by Abbas al-Duri, he is Laysa bi-Siqa, wala ma'mun, wala yuktabu hadithuhu. Abu Zura al-Razi says that he is Zaif al-Hadith, and Abu Hatim says that he is Zaif al-Hadith, yuktabu hadithuhu, kana radi ur-rai sharir tashayyu. According to al-Bukhari, he is Laysa bil-Qawi indahum. According to al-Nisa'i, he is Laysa bi-Siqa, wala ma'mun. Ibn Habban says that he narrated fabricated narratives from reliable narrators. So this is a summary of Amr ibn Abil Miqdam. And as I said, that although Shiite books regard him to be a reliable narrator, here is some information which the Sunni Rizal works cite about him. And I have only mentioned this as a secondary evidence because we have already seen that this narrative is unreliable because of the fact that it is not only Munqata, but it also contains another person who is Jabir ibn Yazid, who is regarded as Mukhtalit. But the primary critique on this narrative is that it is broken because Imam Baqir could not have been contemporaneous to the events which are described in this narrative. Now, viewers, we come to the 11th narrative. Now, the 11th narrative is suspect because Al-Munakhal and Muhammad ibn Sinan are weak, because both of these persons are found in the chain of narration of the 11th narratives. Now, as far as Al-Munakhal is concerned, authorities record, كان كوفيا ضعيفا وفي مذهبه غلوف وارتفاع قال محمد بن مسعود سألت علي بن الحسن عن المنخل بن الجميل فقال هو لا شيء متهم. So this is actually recorded by Al-Hilli and also by Al-Kashin in their books, which are called Rijal respectively. So Al-Munakhal ibn Jamil belongs to Kufa and is Za'if. This is a translation of the passage that I have just recited before you. We find extremism and exaltation of personalities in his beliefs. Muhammad ibn Masud asked about him from Ali ibn Hassan. He replied, he is La Shay Muttahamun. Similarly, we find Najashi in his Rijal say, Za'ifun Fasidur Ravaya, that he is Za'if and he is Fasidur Ravaya. Now, it is said that Jabir ibn Yazid al-Jawfi, a group of people would narrate whom authorities condemn and regard as weak. And Al-Munakhal is included in this group. Now, this has been said by Al-Khuy in his Mujmu Rijal al-Hadith. Now, the second person which I just mentioned was Muhammad ibn Sinan. Authorities recorded about him, Za'ifun ghalin yada'u la yultafatu ilayhi, which means that he is Za'if, an extremist, fabricates narratives and should not be paid attention to. And this has been recorded by Al-Ghazayri in his Rijal. Now, in the opinion of Abul Abbas al-Uqda, he is za'ifun jiddan, cannot be relied upon and should not be trusted in what is narrated by him alone. So things that he narrates solely, he is not reliable in those. Now, Al-Fazl ibn Shazan forbids people to narrate from him, as is recorded by Najashi in his Rijal. Now, let me also point out what Al-Hilli has said about him in his Rijal. He says that, وَقَدْ اخْتَلَفَ عُلَمَاءُنَا فِي شَأْنِهِ فَالشَّيْخ مُفِيد رَحْمَهُ اللَّهِ قَالْ إِنَّهُ سِقَى وَأَمَّا الشَّيْخَ التُّوسِي رَحْمَهُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ زَعَّفَهُ وَكَذَا قَالَ النَّجَاشِي وَإِبْنُ الْغَزَائِرِ قَالْ إِنَّهُ زَعِيفُ غَالٍ لَا يُلْتَفَتُ إِلَيْهِ رَوَى الْكِشِّي فِيهِ قَدْحًا عَزِيمًا وَأَسْنَى عَلَيْهِ عَيْزًا وَالْوَجْعُ عِنْدِي التَّوَقُّفُ فِيمَا يَرْوِي. Says this is what Hilli says in his Rijal, that there is a difference of opinion about him amongst our scholars. Whilst Shaykh al-Mufid regards him to be trustworthy, Shaykh al-Tusi and al-Najashi regard him to be Za'if. Ibn al-Ghazali says that he is Za'if, an extremist, and should not be paid attention to. Al-Kashi says that has narrated great blemishes in him and has also praised him. As far as I am concerned, I would not reject what he narrates, but abstain from drawing any conclusion from him. So this is what his own opinion is, that he would do tawakkuf. Now, in the opinion of Al-Fazl ibn Shazan about Muhammad ibn Sinan, that he is a notorious liar has already been referred to earlier. Now, viewers, we come to narrative number 12. Now, this is also suspect because of the presence of Ibrahim ibn Ishaq al-Nahawandi. Now, he is an extremely suspect narrator. So, as far as Ibrahim ibn Ishaq is concerned, we find the following jar on him. And first of all, Tusi in his Al-Faris says, Kana za'ifun fi hadithihi, muttahamun fi dinihi. And as far as Najashi is concerned, he says, Kana za'ifun fi hadithihi mathumun. He cited this in his Rijal. And Ibn al-Ghazayri says, Fi hadithihi zurf wa amruhu mukhtalit. Now, as far as the 13th and the 14th narratives are concerned, they are in Tabrasi's al-Ihtijaj and have an incomplete chain of narration. And therefore, again, we regard them to be suspect. Now, the 15th narrative does not have a chain of narration. And as far as the 16th narrative is concerned, it has Jabir ibn Yazid al-Jawfi, and the Jarh on him has already been cited earlier. And it also has Amr ibn Shamr. And Amr ibn Shamr is regarded as za'ifun jiddan by al-Najashi and al-Hilli. And al-Ghazairi says that he is za'if. So viewers, we have discussed these 16 changes of narration as regarded in these Shiite works, and we can see that none of them can be relied upon. Now, if we make an overall summary of this whole topic that we have discussed, we can clearly see that the narratives which record and the collection of the Quran attributed to Ali رضي الله عنه, both in the Sunni sources and in the Shiite sources, they stand on extremely unreliable grounds, and we can deduce nothing from them. As far as narratives are concerned, which are found in the Sunni sources, they present an incomplete picture and have absolutely a story which is hard to digest. And similar is the case with the Shiite narratives. They too present a picture which cannot be relied upon, which has been reported very frivolously and very in a very suspect manner. So therefore, I would regard both these narratives, both these categories of narratives to be weak, and would abstain from concluding anything from these narratives and would just disregard them. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات